1-800-831-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your discussion and dialogue. We're talking about a question, if you will, that I believe is an issue that we ought to recognize this Christmas season. By the way, if I haven't said so before, let me remind you, may you have a Merry Christmas, a blessed Christmas. We're looking forward to what you're going to say in relationship to your celebration of Christmas and what God is doing in your life. But as we celebrate Christmas season, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book, as I like to call it. John 8:31-32, the Bible says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 makes a declaratory statement about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That text says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Perhaps you ask the question, how long is forever? As I say in the classes that I teach in the college and university, when you look at the word forever, it means forever. Eternally, everlastingly. But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that rebel, reject, and refuse to hear the truth. It reminds me of the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today, especially in the political arena that we're in and what we see taking place. It also applies, ladies and gentlemen, to what is found in conservative theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. Just as we're talking about Christmas and who is Jesus, there are those that will reject the truth. There are those that will refuse to hear the truth. There are those that will misapply the truth. Here's a good example that I will give as a little, if you please, intro portion of the monologue. Headline I'm looking at this morning online, Joseph didn't make it. Chicago area church updates already controversial nativity scene. The article reads, a Chicago area church has updated its already controversial nativity scene following damages from vandalism and inclement weather, removing Joseph, the father of Jesus, and replacing him with a memorial to those who have been affected by raids and arrests conducted by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents. This article goes on to name the church, and I'll not. It's found in Evanston, Illinois. They made the headlines earlier this holiday season with a nativity scene that depicts baby Jesus lying in a manger with his hands zip-tied together. The infant is wrapped in what appears to be an emergency blanket. Mary and Joseph are standing near the manger wearing gas masks, and the young couple is flanked by three Roman soldiers who are wearing sunglasses, vest that's emblazoned with ice. The church practices a progressive Christian theology. By the way, let me remind you at this point, it was Franklin Graham in Decision Magazine in March of 2023, and again repeated later that year, where he said, progressive Christianity and progressive churches will send more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. But this article reads that this particular church celebrates and practices progressive Christian theology, embraces people from all different religious denominations and all religious traditions, saying in a social media post that the scene is not to be subtle, because the crisis is it addresses is not abstract but very real. The Holy Family were refugees, the pastor said. The pastor of the church also said Christians have to look at the birth story, not just a sort of a rosy sort of tale that we can just read in the scripture, but actually sort out and wrestle with the things that it is presenting in context. Ladies and gentlemen, that is just a little brief illustration of the controversial, conflicting chasm that we find ourselves in the nation today as we celebrate Christmas. It is getting away from the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental truths that we need to stick with. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day as we come on the air with our broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, after our brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to ask you to join the dialogue and the discussion today. Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? What does the Bible say about who Jesus Christ is? Is he just a man? Is he just a good teacher? Is he just a good example for us to live by? Is he one that came into existence in Bethlehem and did not exist prior to that? Those are some of the questions we're going to ask you to have dialogue and discussion on. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have around the round table here in our studio today. We have Dr. Neil Phelps, one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. We have Brother Ken. Ken is with us, and he is one of the coordinators for admissions in the college and university. And we're going to have some healthy dialogue and discussion about the question, who is Jesus? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What Christmas is about, and what should be the focus in celebrating Christmas. I'm going to ask each of them to take about a minute or two with a little introductory thought, and then we're going to go to our telephone lines and answer our first caller. Brother Ken, start us off with your thoughts. We're asking the question, who is Jesus? Why celebrate Christmas, et cetera, et cetera? Not going into the details, but just giving us a little insight as to where we're going today.
Okay, thank you, Pastor, and it's great to be here today and joined by Dr. Phelps. It's an honor and privilege to be on the broadcast today. And I think of the theme of Christmas, that original glory that Jesus Christ was given to him by his Father, and by faith we can behold it, his incarnation. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and he alone, declares, represents, and makes known to angels and men the essential glories of the invisible God, all his attributes, and reveals his will as the creator to his creation, without which we would be in a gross, deep, comparative darkness over the whole creation, especially to fallen man, had Christ not come and made visible the invisible God.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Dr. Phelps?
One of the great things that I look forward to is Christmas.
Amen.
Because Christmas is the time when God sent forth his Son the Bible tells us to be our Savior. We have many, many passages in the Scriptures that talk about the purpose for Christmas. And I'm so thankful that even though we don't know the exact day when Jesus was born, we do know that he did come. We have not only the historical record, but we have the biblical record that tells us that God sent his Son. The Apostle John and others talk about the reason for the season, if we may say it that way. The Apostle John says that God sent his Son to be our Savior. I read from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, "And we have known that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Jesus is the Lamb that God provided to take away the sins of the world.
Absolutely. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have a caller on that. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. I pray that you're well.
Doing well. Got to thinking about your opening monologue, Dr. Youngblood, and when you spoke about the church and the nativity scene. Christ was born in Bethlehem, ran a little bit into Egypt, but then was raised in Nazareth. And then the Romans were the occupiers of the Judea region. Basically, he was a citizen of Judea. So why would any Christian look at that nativity scene and buy into that ideology and blatant political statement of ICE being compared to, oppressive Roman soldiers or whatever they want to compare them to? I can't recall the biblical verse, but there is a biblical verse in the Old Testament that says that if strangers live amongst you in the land, that they should adopt your customs, that they shouldn't be bringing in false gods or doing whatever they want to do. And obviously Romans 13 follows up with what a good citizen should be, as well as a believer in Christ.
You're absolutely correct. One of the things that I find, Jim, is that so many today want to use Christmas and everything that they can find in relationship to Christ, Christmas, the Scripture, the Word of God, to validate some of their biases in society. I find it sad and really despicable that any church would celebrate Christmas with a nativity scene so admixed with false truth, that which is an untruth. In fact, it is simply saying that ICE agents are bad, and baby Jesus is in zip ties in the manger. And even as we look beyond that, Jim, I've said so often we need to go beyond Bethlehem and realize that Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, pre-existed and self-existed before the world began. And I say that, and I'm very, very dogmatic about this issue, that according to the Scripture, Genesis 1:1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, Jesus Christ is the one that created everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's in the heavens, everything that's on the earth, everything that's beneath the earth, the Scripture says, and I'm paraphrasing, if he is the creator, then he is outside the realm of his creation. And yet we have multitudes of denominations and sects and groups and cults today that will say that Jesus simply came into being at Bethlehem. That is totally incorrect. Jesus, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the everlasting Father. Amen. He is the Lord, King of kings, and Lord of lords. He is not just a created being. And so it goes back to how we have, down through the centuries, we have so amalgamated truth with error. We have so falsified facts and made them seem as truth that multitudes of people do not understand. That's the reason this season, Christmas season, I'm wanting so much to see people to recognize why we celebrate Christmas, who we celebrate, whose birth it is that we celebrate, and how it should be celebrated. And so, Jim, it is my prayer that people listening today, every listener, will feel a need to recognize how to celebrate Christmas. With that, if I can burden you with this a moment, Jim, I've got an article that touches on similar things that we're saying now, and I want our listeners to hear it, but I'd love to have your response. There's a question. I feel guilty because every Christmas I say I'm going to keep the real meaning of Christmas, but then I get distracted by all the shopping and all the parties. How should we celebrate Christmas, this person is asking? And the answer is, one person wrote, the key to Christmas is to remember what is we're supposed to celebrate, and that celebration is to be the birth of Christ. If it weren't for Christ, there would be no Christmas. And the key to keeping Christ in the center of our Christmas is to keep our eyes fixed on Him, not on ourselves, not distracted by everything that's going on. And then the writer says, I know that's easier said than done, but Christmas has grown increasingly busy and increasingly secular, and Christ easily gets crowded out of all the activities and the stress on material things, end quote. What say you to that writer and that question and answer?
I think the answer is correct. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and nothing Amen. Was done without the Word. So, Amen. Yeah, it's Christ. It's all Him. It's well, whatever it is, sir.
Well stated, and I'm thankful for you and for your call. May you have a Merry Christmas, and thank you for calling today. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number 904-831-0917. We're thankful for you. We're praying that you have a Merry Christmas. We've got a round table filled today, Dr. Phelps and Brother Ken, and we're here today to answer your questions, respond to you as we ask the question, who is Jesus? So the question is to you and to each of our listeners, who is Jesus Christ? Is He God? Is He simply a man? Is He simply a good teacher? Is He simply an honorable person? Or simply a figment of the imagination that's been given to us to follow? The multitudes, and perhaps you're listening today and you do this, do you celebrate Christmas by lying to your kids and telling them it's Santa Claus? Do you celebrate Christmas by giving some mythological facts rather than the truth of what the Bible says? If you've been guilty of that, don't feel bad today. Simply recognize what Christmas is about and who Jesus Christ is, and share that good news. Because when the in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, I believe it is, I'm not looking at the scripture, but in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, when the angel Gabriel announced to the shepherds in the field that a Savior's born, said it was good news, joy to the world. And so may I say to you that good news is that Christ is the central, should be the central focus of Christmas. And so I pray that as you're celebrating Christmas, that your focus and your celebration is around the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And number one, we need to understand He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So the best gift that we can give this Christmas is to give ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to serve Him, surrender to Him, and to love Him and to honor Him. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood and gentlemen, I tell you, it is. I had to go into the store, but I heard you talking about supposedly pastors having Jesus tied, and Mary and Joseph, they had a gas mask on. Is that a pastor or what?
He's a pastor in a figure of imagination, in his own imagination, I believe. But it is only typical for what you find in what is called the woke progressive church today. And by the way, it's not just that one. We have woke progressive churches and woke progressive so-called Christianity across the nation today, where they amalgamate and blend their observation and their perception of who Jesus is. Go ahead.
Yeah. They go on with society.
Yes.
So you're not a real Christian. You're not a pastor. You're a pastor of Satan. They say Satan comes as an angel of light.
Well, you said it, and I second it, so I'm thankful. Kenneth, just take a second, please. What is the focus in your household, and what are you doing that makes Jesus Christ the central focus of the celebration of Christmas? What are you doing in that special area of making sure that Christ is dominant in your celebration of Christmas this season?
Okay, I'll tell you the truth, Dr. Youngblood. Back in the 70s, the late 70s, I was married, and I told my wife, I said, do not let my child grow up believing in the Santa Claus. I said, because when I did it, I was like, well, if Santa Claus not real, God not real. You know, don't let them grow up with a lie.
Amen.
Should I say it like that?
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the position. And just one little footnote to what you've said in our discussion. I'm going back to this article that says Joseph didn't make it. Chicago Area Church updates already a controversial nativity scene. The final portion of this article says in this writer that the pastor said, "We hold this space," talking about the nativity scene, "to honor and remember all the victims of immigration enforcement and the terror they faced," the sign reads. And it goes further. Sign reads in this fashion. "Everyone who's been deported, everyone who's been has been made to disappear, everyone who's been denied medical care, everyone who's gone into hiding, everyone who's seen these things happening to friends, family, neighbors, everyone who has had chemical weapons deployed in their neighborhoods, all of our children, all of those that have left school as a result of it, for the dreamers and for the permanent residents, the people who have legal status, whose futures are in jeopardy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And he goes on to say that's what the nativity scene represents. That's simply a figment of the man's imagination. They need to lock him up and throw away the keys. But anyway, he is, as you alluded to, he needs to go back and think whether he's a pastor or not. I don't know what book he's using for his guidelines to be a pastor, but it's certainly not the B-I-B-L-E, in my opinion. But Kenneth, thank you so much. May you and your family have a Merry Christmas. Brother Ken, I go to you. Let me ask you the question. What is the reality of how you recommend, based on the Scripture, that we celebrate Christmas? I go back to the Scripture, and I'm reminded in the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter of Luke, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So as I see it, Christmas should be celebrated with good tidings, good news, for all people. What say you?
Well, first I'm going to ask this question rhetorically. What exactly is this holiday Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so varied and complicated, and you can get a bunch of different definitions about what people may think that the holiday represents.
Yes.
So I go back as to how do we define Christmas? And I find three entities in the Scriptures that would guide us in this study. Number one, the government's role. The government's role, they've come and set aside a specific day for the holiday. It's strictly administrative. They don't offer any definition of the holiday, any of the criteria of the holiday. And out of the 150-plus countries that have a holiday of Christmas, none of them publish, typically, this definition of Christmas. The second entity I see is the church. The Church of Jesus Christ has the role in which to teach the Scriptures and to disseminate truth to its members on how to live, believe, and practice their lives. So I think the church has a role in guiding, counseling, preaching, teaching the Word of God as it relates to observing days. Any particular day or holiday that we may observe that's not specifically commanded in Scripture, that should be sourced in the church. Mm-hmm. Our churches and pastors and teachers should be teaching principles. The third entity, and what I think it really comes down to, is the individual role of the believer. And I think this topic, from the influence and teaching of the church, becomes an individual decision. And I'm thinking about what Paul taught in Romans chapter 14, the principle of Christian liberty, where he called upon two areas of contention. What people were eating, they were disagreeing, and the days that the people wanted to observe, as one was particularly holy or one special or one wasn't. And Paul laid out the criteria and the rules in which to deal with these days of observance, and how it's a matter of personal preference, personal belief, personal faith that an individual comes to from their own study and work and prayer life about how they're going to administer these days.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Brother Ken, that I'll touch on, and we'll go to Dr. Phelps, is that so many people today, even among what would be called conservative, sound-minded Christians, is that they go back to this jargon that somehow, some way, we ought not to celebrate Christmas because it goes back to the pagan celebrations of the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century in particular. I'm looking at an article that says, some people refrain from celebrating Christmas because they see a link between the traditions surrounding the holiday and similar practices in ancient pagan rituals. It is true that bells and candles and holly and yuletide decorations are mentioned in history of pagan worship. For some Christians, that is enough to keep them away from celebrating Christmas. I think that's a farce. That's simply an irrational reason to not celebrate Christmas. But I think for the most part, across America, we see people recognizing Christmas as being the birth of Jesus and celebrated in that fashion. Though I believe that we need to go beyond Bethlehem and recognize who Jesus is beyond just the babe in Bethlehem. Go ahead.
Something real quick, Pastor. If that's true, then we have to throw out all of our gold and silver, mm-hmm. all of our stonework, all of our construction of buildings, artwork, sculptures, blue and purple garments, dough, cake, money. All these were in the Old Testament used in idolatrous worship.
Absolutely.
So basically, we have to live in a sterile environment. We can't go outside. We can't touch anything. We can't do anything because it's been used in the past. But I'm here to tell you that we are called to earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
And I will take this issue of being able to celebrate the greatest grand revelation that God has made to himself, that I personally want to entrench myself in and study and worship and believe on, that whether it's the 25th or another day, how that God revealed himself to me in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And nobody, I don't care what argument you come with, is going to steal my right away and say that I'm wrong in doing it.
Absolutely. I'll say amen to that. Dr. Phelps, if we're asking the question about who is Jesus, how does Jesus play into the role of celebration of Christmas, and your thoughts on the subject?
One of the things that has impressed me as I read the Bible,
yes,
is that the Apostle Paul made it clear that the church has a definite role in propagating the truth.
Yes.
In 1 Timothy chapter 3, he spoke of the church, the house of God, as being the pillar and ground of the truth. Brother Ken spoke of the responsibility of the church, and it is so important. Our great problem today is that many of the churches and their leaders have abandoned the truth and adopted a wrong philosophy of that has to do with social justice, mm-hmm. rather than God's great salvation in Christ.
Absolutely.
And so as a result, many churches and church leaders are misleading the people of God in the congregation.
Yes, and as a result of that, Dr. Phelps, if I can tag on to that in our moments before the news break, is the fact that we have so many today that misunderstand who Jesus Christ is. Some say that Jesus was only God's first created being, and this started with Arius. They're called Arianists today. They're called those that look at it and say, well, Jesus wasn't really God. He wasn't really God come in the flesh. He was just God's first created being. And yet Jehovah's Witnesses today say that Jesus preexisted as Michael the Archangel and is the first one of God's creation. And I could go on and on and on with what people are saying and believing in relationship to the question, who is Jesus Christ? If we fail to understand who Jesus Christ is, we fail to understand and recognize the very centrality and purpose for celebrating Christmas.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.com.